So, welcome to Living with Loss of a Loved One, episode 5, Faith and Miracles. When I started thinking about the podcast and topics and different, you know, episodes and stuff, one of the things I wanted to discuss, that something even today that I think of often, and not knowing exactly how to word it, how you start the conversation, you know, because it is a little bit of a touchy subject, and I've spent the last, ever since I started the podcast, I've spent the last couple of weeks thinking specifically on how to start it, you know, how to introduce the specific topic, subject, but, you know, religion. Everybody's views with religion. We all come from a different, most of us come from a bit, probably, you know, a religious or religion background, whether you're a Baptist or Catholic, Pentecostal, all the different religions in the world. You grew up, I mean, growing up as a child in a religious home, sometimes you take that environment and what you've learned and continue practicing with those same beliefs with your own kids as you get older. Sometimes it's reversed and you tend to go a different direction. And I know for me personally, I mean, I can say I'm religious. I'm not somebody who goes to church every Sunday. I work in retail. I work a lot of hours. Unfortunately, I work more Sundays than I have Sundays off. But you know, we go to church in my home. We go to church when we can. But growing up, I remember going to church, some with my mother and my father prior to them separating and getting divorced. When I moved to Ohio with my mother and my sister, you know, we'd go to church on Sundays. Church. I remember Sunday mornings. I remember Sunday evenings. I remember going to church on Wednesdays, I believe. Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, I mean, I grew up when I was younger going to church. So, my personal beliefs, and I'm not trying to get into me personally, but it does kind of impact how the passing of my father has with me in my beliefs. I've talked to several people, you know, I've talked to my uncle specifically, and for that matter, I even talked to my dad prior, you know, before he even passed away, about just religion in itself, and, you know, that's why I didn't want to title this religion. I wanted to talk specifically, I wanted this to be about faith and I guess miracles, if that's what you want to kind of mention. But the faith part for me is that you have to have faith in knowing and believing on what your personal relationship is, not just with God or with Jesus or even with your own personal church or even your family for that matter. Faith to me is what you make out of it. I know personally, for at least for the rest of the time that I'm alive and on this planet or on Earth, I just want to be able to be the best person that I can be personally. as, you know, as what the Bible says, you know, you do unto others as they've done under or done unto you. So I know there's a lot of scripture, and I'm not somebody who can quote scriptures. That is not my background. That's why, you know, it makes this particular topic kind of hard for me to discuss, because, you know, it's not a strength of mine. I just know how some of this has impacted me in my faith, my own personal faith. So where I'm getting at is, you know, since my dad's passed away, you know, there's so many conflicting things that I've tried. I've stayed late up at night. I've tried seeking answers, and I don't think there is any clear-cut answer. So that's where faith comes back into this. You know, I would personally, like, I've always wanted to know, you know, that now that my dad's not here, where's my dad really at? Is he in a good place? You know, has he moved on? I've Googled stuff and found information that the Bible speaks to that. You know, some people have the idea that when you die, you instantly are gone and you go to heaven. But yet I've also read stuff that's not the case, that you don't go to heaven till the day comes that Jesus or God calls you back. So that's the thing that I struggle every day, is that I know, having conversations with my dad, specifically it was about my cousins that had passed away due to leukemia. One lived longer than the other. Both really struggled within their own time frames, and I know that bothered my dad some, and that just made me question the whole thing. And it's like, you know, why? And I know a lot of people that's lost family members or loved ones. I'm assuming they go through the same thing. It's just, why does it have to be this person? Why, not to be greedy, but why can't it be somebody else? Why did God have to choose to take my loved one from me? You know, and the only answer that I've gotten is that, you know, that God has a reason, and it may not make sense to us, but there's a reason why. And again, you know, that comes back to faith, and that you've got to stay stern to your beliefs and your faith, and believe that there is a reason why. But really, for me, I'm still trying to find the only comforting thing for me personally has been the fact that I know my dad is not suffering like he did, say the last 5 years that he was alive. That's the only slight release that I get, is that I know my dad's not suffering, and I know he just got tired at the end. I know, you know, it bothered me to see him to be the way that he was at the end, and I want to be that greedy person and keep my father next to my side. But I know it just wasn't possible, because I just didn't like seeing him suffering the way that he was. I know my grandmother, you know, she passed away in her early 80s, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, if my grandmother can get to her early 80s, well, so can my dad. So I feel like that, you know, I still have another 10 years with my dad. but not in this case. I can say the same thing about my two cousins that passed away. Both cousins, mind you, on the same the same family side as my dad. Two immediate cousins. And then you got to question why. You know, it's not right. You know, I lost my grandmother, say, 11 years ago or so. And I know everybody has a time. When it's your time to go. But then, you know, all of a sudden, my cousin comes down with leukemia. 6 months later, my other cousin comes down with leukemia. And then, I don't know, 4 or 5 months later, my first cousin eventually passes away in Houston at MD Anderson. My other cousin managed to hold on for the next 3-4 years. She eventually passed away. It's a very hard subject for me to even talk about, because when you have close family members, you start questioning that whole faith thing, and you become angry. Told my uncle that, and I never had really deep conversations with my dad. I know my dad was really impacted with the loss of both of his parents. But, you know, as far as my dad's siblings, specifically my uncle, I know my uncle lost his dad when he was 16. My dad was like 19 or 20. He was somewhere in that age range. You know, and then he loses his son at a way early age. You know, earlier than the age of his dad or my grandfather that passed away. So my grandfather passed away at 43. I have never, and that's been on both sides, I have never had the chance. I feel like it was taken away from me, which again, I don't know why, but like I said earlier, there's a rhyme and reason for what God does. But why does it have to be to this extent, or this extent? Why did I have to lose my, not just one, but both of my grandfathers? In this case, my dad's dad. You know, I felt that was taken away from me. My grandfather died at 43 years old, and I remember used to thinking, man, 40, if you're in the 40s, you're old. And I remember my dad used to say that he didn't think he was going to make it past 42 or 43 years old. And the simple fact that my dad was able to make it to the age of 69, I don't want to say it's a blessing, but I'm fortunate enough that I was able to get more time with my father than he was able to get time with his. That's probably unfair to say that. But that doesn't answer, you know, the faith part in why I'm so frustrated with why my dad had to go at what I still think is a young age of 69. I see people every day that come into my business that, you know, they're in their 80s. And you just scratch your head, and I'm like, I just don't really understand. I don't understand. And then we want to come back to this, and then we want to talk about miracles. And I know in the Bible it talks about miracles that has been performed. You know, for me personally, what about my miracles? What about the miracles that I want to see that God could have helped my family members? You know, you hear about some people that's able to survive after going through bouts of chemo, you know, with cancer or whichever. But not just one, but I lost two cousins. The one cousin I was really close with, and he was 4 years younger than me, but growing up as a kid, he was more that smaller brother that you have that just kind of really aggravates you, but yet that you wanted him around. Well, that was my cousin. I spent a lot of times with him. We hung out a lot on the weekends because both of our parents was divorced, and I enjoy him hanging out, because to me, I've always looked to him as that younger brother that I didn't have that opportunity to spend time with that I have up in Ohio. It hurts a lot knowing that you just don't understand, and it makes this topic really hard to talk about, because you don't understand why things happen, and you just want answers. Every day I think about my dad. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my dad specifically, or my close family members, and into some cases, some friends that I've lost as well. But there's really not a day goes by you're not thinking about your loved ones and how that impacts you. And for some people, it leaves you in a state of depression that takes a while. I don't know if recover's a word, but for some people, for me specifically, I don't know if I ever can recover. I've had people send me messages and basically to keep my head up, and things are going to be okay, and it's just. It's really hard to keep your mind straight and focused. And people are there to pick you up when you're down. But it's very hard when you're giving advice to somebody that it's kind of hard, because you yourself have never been through it. Maybe you've not lost a loved one. And to me, I don't think there's anything worse than losing a child. And I hope I really never experience that. But next to a child, what's worse? Either your significant other or even your parents. And, with my mother, going through it was bad enough with my dad. Going through it again with your other parent, the only thing I can say is I know what to expect from a mental standpoint. But again, when you go through this process, not the grieving process, but this process that you're thinking of, when your loved one is in the last days of their life, and you're kind of preparing yourself, and you're going through the motions, but when it happens, you say that you're ready. You're not really ready, because things come up onto you so fast that you're not prepared. Especially if it's your first loved one that you've lost that's close to you. Maybe it does get a little bit easier the second time, but losing my cousins, losing my grandmother some years back, and then now losing my dad, it's very complicated. Maybe for us who goes through this grieving process, maybe this is our way of kind of refocusing on our remaining years that we have, and kind of appreciating the time that we do have remaining. My dad used to tell me, I remember specific conversations, and one of the things my dad has told me several times, that time is short and time doesn't wait for anybody. It almost kind of sounds like maybe something that maybe my dad has heard my grandfather say. I don't know. But as you get older, and I do understand that time is short. I mean, I'm about to turn 50, and it just feels like I've just left high school. And part of that is because I think my struggle that I have with my dad is because, you know, I'm 50 years old. My dad was 69, and mentally, I feel like that I'm only 20, and I have to keep telling myself that, hey, Rodney, you're not 20. You're about to be 50. I'm a grandfather myself, in that, you know, we're not going to be here forever. So these are the things that I have to keep going, that I have to keep replaying through my head every day. It's like I'm choosing, not picking and choosing my battles, but it's just like I'm trying, when I'm low and I'm having a bad day, I have to think about these other things that I've been talking about to reinforce, to help me pick myself up. And I know that I used to say quite a bit in the past, you can't help those who can't help themselves. So I do try to at least live by some of the stuff that I've talked about, that I've kind of reinforced with my own kids. But faith in the loss of a loved one will battle each other hand to hand. It takes faith to get through difficult times. I know I've been in church listening to sermons. I can specifically remember pastors talking about that. And that's why we all need to focus around faith. But for me, I guess, as I've gotten older and how the times have changed, maybe that's part of it too. But I'm the type of person that, and part of that is just because of my career and what I do in retail, that I'm an operations kind of person. I've got to see facts in front of me. I've never lived way out in left field. You know, I'm a realist. I look at things from a practical standpoint. And for me, you know, it does challenge my faith, because the simple fact that I want to be able to see something to believe it. And I think there's a lot of people probably that go through that. But we're taught, as young adults in church, that, you know, faith is what you have to lean on. Because without faith, I don't think you have religion. You can't practice religion. You can't really practice religion, in my opinion, if you don't have faith. You can question everything. You can even question the whole thing with Jesus dying on the cross, because that happened so long ago. But yet, you know, the only thing that we can go by is from what the Bible says. The Bible says this, so this happens. But I think it's natural for anybody to question stuff. You know, and my dad, it'd be no different. My dad telling me to do something, and, you know, because I respected my dad, you know, when I was younger, I'm like, okay, but I'm, you know, in the back of my mind, it's like, why would, this doesn't make sense. Why? Well, if you don't do it, then I'm going to wear your butt out. You're going to get grounded or whatever the case may be. So it's kind of like that, I guess. But I think it's natural as you get older to start questioning things. And I know when I talked to my dad and when my cousin passed away, both cousins, and I know, and this is one of the last conversations that I had about faith or religion with my dad, knowing that he grew up in a very Christian home, that his both parents was involved with the church. The only thing I told Dad, I told my own father, I'm like, listen, I don't understand. It's not fair. I don't understand why my cousins, much less one than both of them, why they had to suffer. And my dad's input, you know, he just kind of shook his head and he didn't understand. And basically what my dad told me was, you know, if you fall back to the story about Job, but I told Dad, I'm like, well, why would God want to make somebody suffer to prove a point? You know, I don't think you should have to prove your faith. You know, and I think my dad understood where I was coming from. But I know there what my dad told me, he goes, well, I'd rather be safe than sorry. And, you know, I didn't spend a whole lot of time talking that especially that last year, to my dad about church, religion, that kind of thing. I didn't spend a whole lot of time doing that with my dad. I wanted to spend the time talking to him about just things in general, watching TV with him in the evenings, funny stuff that we can associate. Nothing to bring up stress stuff. My biggest fear was if I was talking to him about stuff like that, then in the back of his mind, he would be thinking about, oh, he must be thinking that I'm not going to be around much longer. And I've been told that I overthink stuff, and that's probably the case. I guess I'm always trying to be two steps ahead. But as far as the miracles, you know, I talked to my mom. And she told me that she thinks, as far as a miracle with my dad, was the fact that my sister and myself was able to be by my dad's side right up to the end before he passed away. Maybe. You know, and the thing with miracles is that maybe in the bigger picture, maybe I'm even looking at this wrong. Maybe miracles happen way more often than we realize. And maybe we're just taking things for granted. Maybe for the simple fact that maybe God is doing miracles around us to the point that we have no clue. We're going along our typical stuff day to day. And we're not really seeing exactly what's going on around us. You know, maybe that's the case. Maybe it was a miracle that my dad, going into the last day, the evening that he passed away, my dad was very incoherent. That last 72 hours. He passed away on a Wednesday. Monday evening was really the last casual kind of conversation I had with him. And even yet, I could tell that he wasn't fully there because of his breathing issues that started occurring from that weekend. But it wasn't Monday. Monday wasn't really a bad day. Tuesday, he was not even coherent at all. Wednesday, I stayed there with him, along with other family members in his room, and it was like I knew he was suffering. I knew he had a lot of. He was struggling. He was extremely struggling with breathing, and to the point that his eyes was kind of rolled back. I don't want to get really descriptive, but I myself didn't even know if he even knew that we were there with him. My sister drove down that night and arrived that morning, and when she was there, my dad wasn't acknowledging anybody. Pretty much, you know, he wasn't making eye contact with anybody. Family members were showing up. The nurse showed up and said that he didn't have really too much longer left. And knowing that just recent prior to that, my sister, my mother, and my, you know, family and all in Ohio had been on vacation and had taken a cruise, and I'm talking to my sister, one of her fears was is that something would happen to Dad while she was not going to be available or even have enough time even to get here. So and that's what I kind of talked with my mom, and my mom said, you know what, to me that's a miracle that worked out the way it did for you and Bridget, my sister Bridget, to be there with my dad. Passed away that evening, and as family members and friends was coming in, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock, one of the officers that my dad had worked with came in, and the weirdest thing is that he started to respond about that time frame. His breathing started to get worse. I mean, and I don't know if you know anybody who has COPD and what that disease does to an individual, but it just slowly takes away their oxygen level in their lungs to the point that your lungs give out, they fill up with fluid, which is basically what happened with my dad, just to keep his stuff in his mouth. We had to lean my dad over, and I stayed by my dad's bedside that entire day. I didn't want to leave him. I had my aunts and my uncle was there, my sister was right there. The kids were not really back there so much. My oldest daughter was there. But eventually, you know, we kind of, just to keep the fluid out of my dad's mouth, because we didn't have a syringe or anything to suck any of that saliva out of his mouth, you know, we had to lean him to his side, which was basically facing me and my sister. And I was able to be right there with him when he took his last breaths. And you know, it's shocking because you're not prepared. And I don't know. Going through my mind, I guess I knew what was happening, but I didn't really believe that it was going to happen. Knowing that, so when my dad passed away, leading up to that, I mean, like probably 15 minutes. I think my dad knew that there were family members that were talking to him. He may not have been able to see them, but I think he recognized voices in the room. When we leaned him over, you know, I kept assuring my dad that everything was going to be okay. Everything, just relax. It's going to be okay. And I, in a weird kind of way, I think it was me trying to tell myself that it's going to be okay. And that's probably furthest from the truth, because it's not been okay for me. I'm that 6-year-old boy that's not going to have his dad around. It's the loss that, and the grief that you go through, and me telling my dad was to comfort my dad. I would have told anything to my dad to make him be comfortable. I didn't want him to be afraid. Maybe he wasn't, but I don't know if any of my family members, but I know that I remember seeing a tear coming down my dad's face. So, you know, I told him, you know, I leaned over and told him I loved him. I wiped the tear from his face. You know, I didn't mention it. I didn't say anything. That moment is what convinced me that my dad knew that we were there with him. And then when he took his last breath, basically, it was after his lungs filled up and, you know, then he was gone. And so I guess maybe it's a miracle, the fact that he didn't go in his sleep. My thing is that even with myself, that when it's my time to go, I don't want to go in knowing that it's my time is coming, that I'm going that I have huge amounts of pain. You know, I don't know if there's an ideal way to go. I mean, in your sleep, I guess, maybe, I don't know. Part of me, you know, when I knew that this day was going to come, I kind of envisioned that if, you know, when my dad would like go to sleep or something, I don't know. I didn't want any pain. I didn't want my dad being afraid. I didn't want my dad having any pain. That was first and foremost. I went through a scary thing with him in the hospital about 5-6 years back. And that's when I was first told that he had COPD, but his lungs, they closed up on him, and they had to give him a steroid shot to get his lungs open back up. But I remember being in the emergency room, and it was just me. My sister was in Ohio. There wasn't anybody there except for me, and, you know, I'm trying to comfort my dad. I'm at the foot of his bed, and my dad is pushing back, way back in his chair, or in his bed, hospital bed, and he's looking past me, and his face is like white as a ghost. And I'm trying to maintain and show that I'm not afraid, that everything's going to be fine. And deep inside, it was the worst thing for me that I've ever experienced, next to now my dad passing away. But I couldn't show that to him. I knew after, and he was in the hospital for a week, I basically had to go to the bathroom because I got sick. And that stayed, that experience stayed with me and has still remained with me. I've had dreams at night before my dad passing away, just dreams of my dad passing away. Or somebody, but you know that this person that you can't see in this room, you know who that person is. And for me, this individual I knew was my dad, even though I didn't see my dad. But my dreams was that my dad was going to pass away in the hospital. And I think primarily because I've gone to the hospital with my dad so much, we've had so many trips to the hospital, guess, in a way, in the back of my mind, I figured that was going to be the way he was going to go. But he wanted to go. When it was time for him to go, he wanted to be at home. Miracles that goes on around us in the faith is very hard for me to understand. And when I talked to my uncle, you know, he mentioned that he was very angry, and he kind of and he had the same questions as I've had in the relationships. So, you know, that's the other thing that is important with this process. In the previous podcast, I talked about relationships. And for me, you know, if you have that faith and you're questioning that faith, or, you know, as far as miracles go and religion, and you have all that, you have to have that relationship to fall back on to help you stay centered. Because if you have nobody to help you stay centered, your religion, your faith, all that stuff it's going to be very difficult for someone to get through. So anyway, that's kind of my thing I wanted to talk about. I didn't really want to get in the religion part. I really didn't want to bring in or talk about my own personal ideas around religion. I think most people they have some kind of religion to them. Some practice on a daily basis. Some people don't practice, and they go ever so often. And for me, I'm a religious person. I don't practice. I make more mistakes than anybody else. Is what the Bible says. We've all sinned. But in the bigger picture, you know, I do. While my remaining days on that I'm alive, I just want to be the best person that I can be and help those around me and try my best to set the example for my children to follow and pick up where my dad, he loved my sister and I, but he really loved his grandkids too. And knowing that myself, I've got five grandkids, you know, I want to be able to carry that on, and being that role model for my grandkids, because I never had that with my own grandfather. And I know if my dad was still here, because he had a really good relationship with two of my grandkids anyway. And I'll probably post a picture of them together on Instagram, but I need to just try to not worry about next month or next year, continue doing what I've been doing, which is a day-to-day process. And for me, it's getting up and going to work and coming back to my dad's house. I told my uncle that I feel like that I'm living in my dad's house, and I'm waiting for him to come back, that I'm just there maintaining everything. And I know that's not ever going to happen, but it's a process. And one of the managers I worked with, who's been through a lot himself, and I don't even understand how this individual is even alive, from not even having a nervous breakdown. He's gone through so much. But he told me, and the advice that he gave me was a simple fact that you don't ever get used to it. He told me, you know what, Rodney, I'd like to be able to tell you that it's going to get better. It's not. And that's what I appreciate from certain people, that you call it as you see it. Be realistic. Don't sugarcoat something. You know, as I said earlier, I'm a realist. I want to be two steps ahead of the game, that kind of thing. But he told me that, you know, you just get numb after a while. That feeling of missing that person never goes away. And this is an individual that's lost two daughters, one to cancer, lost his mother to COPD. And, you know, and that's their thing. When I got assigned to the store, this was like in June, July time frame. So this was like my dad's last 3 months. I was really angry with where I was working at, knowing that I was only 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops away from my dad where I was working at. And then they send me, they assigned me to a new store that was an hour drive away. That made me very extremely upset. But again, so if we're talking miracles, maybe the simple fact, the miracle here would be the fact that God knew that I was going to struggle so bad that maybe he sent me, or things would happen to go the way they did, for me to go to this particular store that was an hour away, and then that particular manager had been through so much that he was there for me to talk through me, or talk to me through the processes and stuff of what happens when someone's in their last stages of COPD. So again, that falls back to relationships. You can see all this kind of circles back together. So anyway, I'm just going to try to keep my podcast, these segments, down to 30 minutes, and I'm actually well over that point, but I know this is a very delicate, complicated topic, but it's something that I believe comes up for each individual that goes through the loss of somebody, that, you know, where does this individual go when they pass away? You know, are they looking down upon us? You've seen all kinds of movies, and granted, those are movies, but I will tell you that it kind of feels like there's some days that somebody's watching you, and I don't know, it's very hard. It's very hard to explain. Maybe it's because you want that so bad that you put yourself in a position that you think something's actually happening, but it's not. I wish my dad was in the home. I wish I could have those conversations. I miss having my daily conversations with my dad while driving home. That takes me an hour to get back from work. You know, and I can't, my things that I do every day are never going to return because my dad's not here. And I think the fact that I've only, you know, I've talked a little bit to my wife. I've talked primarily, really, the person I talked to the most has been my uncle, a little bit to my aunt, a little bit to my mother, some to my sister. But the podcast itself is probably one way for me to get any kind of release and things just off my chest. So anyway, feel free to leave any comments, any feedback, maybe some stories for others. And this is not about me, but anybody else that's listening, anybody who's reading any of the Instagram posts, by all means, feel free to message me pictures if you want. I'll post them on there too as well. But I appreciate everybody who's listening in, and hopefully I'll not go a little bit longer like I did with this last episode. And I'm trying my best to do weekly episodes every Friday. So I appreciate everything, and you guys have a great day.